This is the Truth Network.
Coming to you from an entrenched barricade deep in the heart of Central North Carolina. Masculine Journey After Hours. A time to go deeper and be more transparent on the topic covered on this week's broadcast. So sit back and join us on this adventure. The Masculine Journey After Hours starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey After Hours. We're in the middle of a very compelling topic. I'm very intrigued by it. That's not the word I wanted. Very unique. That's where I was trying to get one in there for Jim. I just couldn't do it. But anyway, you know, we're on a really cool topic. And Danny, it's your topic. If you want to set it back up.
Yeah, we were talking about the masculine journey, not just the ministry, but the journey that it actually is and how it's impacted our lives, you know, through boot camps and through the books and through, you know, show and various other aspects of what we do around here.
Yeah, and we often talk about the Wild at Heart book, but before we get on with more of the show, throw out some more of the books that you've read that have kind of impacted you in the masculine journey.
Well, I was given, the first book I was ever given was Waking the Dead by John Eldridge.
Yep.
And I waited for about a year to see if the dead really woke up. That's why I read it. And then I went and read Wild at Heart. And since then, read lots of different ones. The Fathered by God made a huge impact on me. And then, you know, you get into some of Morgan's stuff, Becoming a King, and just great stuff that just kind of, you know, brings what we love to talk about to life in us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Andy, you got anything you want to add? I mean, he mentioned pretty much most of John's. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, definitely. There's so much there in the books. And you know, they open you up to other books like Dallas Willard and mm-hmm. George MacDonald, and I haven't read C.S. Lewis. I haven't went and read all of those guys, but just the quotes and the things that they pull in, and you know, it just gives you a different perspective. Again, you know, what I like about it was whenever you would go to church, it was a generic gospel, men, women, and it should be, and I mean, it needs to be preached. But what I liked about this was it had an element that focused on me as a man and how to live that out, how God intended man to be. And so that's what I like about, you know, John's stuff. I mean, he'll tell you, you know, he speaks to the heart, but more specifically the male heart. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah, I'd say on his books, the two of them are predominantly towards men, mm-hmm. which is Wild at Heart, which is all basically mm-hmm. about a man's yeah. heart and, you know, how we're created in God's image and what it means to be created as a male,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a lot of what that book's about. There's so much more yeah. in it. And then Fathered by God is a book for men,
yeah.
you know, not that women wouldn't get a lot out of mm-hmm. it. I know that the boy's mother, when we were married, read it, and it really helped her as we're raising our sons
mm-hmm.
to understand their hearts. You know, and so there's a lot of good that way. But I would say, you know, Waking the Dead is very good for either gender. Most of the other books really are. And the other ones are still good. But
yeah,
it's
I just
not,
bought the release of Sacred Romance. The other
oh,
yeah. day, so,
yeah,
another yeah. good one. That was their first book.
Him and Brent Curtis. Yeah, that's good. So, Danny, you have the first clip from the After Hours, so if you want to set it up.
Yeah, it's from the show, I think it was a Netflix show, Designated Survivor, with Kiefer Sutherland, and about, you know, basically all of Congress and the president gets wiped out one night in a terrorist attack, and Kiefer Sutherland is all of a sudden shoved into being president. And the whole show is based upon how that develops. But this clip is, I think, the first show, the premiere or whatever, and he's obviously went through this traumatic thing, and he's the designated survivor. He was, you know, at an undisclosed location or whatever when everything went down. And so he was the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development or something. And he had been fired that morning by the president, who was then assassinated, basically. So this clip is, he is overwhelmed by the thing, and he's in the bathroom and he's in a stall, and another guy comes in and begins to talk. They begin to have an exchange and they can't see each other. And the other guy said, "Can you believe, you know, what's happening?" And he goes on talking about how the guy that's in charge shouldn't be in charge and everything. He doesn't have any idea who he's talking to.
Which is the guy in charge.
Which is the guy in charge,
yeah.
who's now the president.
Yeah.
And when they come out, together, all of a sudden the conversation changed because now he knows who he's talking to. He didn't even know the guy's name. And so Tom Kirkland is his name, and he calls him Kirkman, or, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But that's the exchange, and watching this, and we'll talk about it on the other side, but listening to the exchange of how Kiefer Sutherland goes from this to this, and then the other guy has to go from this to this. So.
All right, we'll play it.
Just let it all out, man. We're all feeling the same way tonight.
I'm sorry, I thought I was alone.
Yeah, well, nothing is what it seems anymore. Do you even know who's in charge right now? I'm asking because I can't even remember his name.
Kirkman, Tom Kirkman.
Yeah. Kirkland, that's right. The lowest rung on the ladder. And you know President Richmond fired him this morning? Now he's the president. He's the one the country's going to be turning to in our darkest hour.
Well, maybe he'll surprise you.
Yeah, you mean maybe he'll realize he has no business running the country? That he should just step aside? Maybe let one of the generals take over, or the CIA director, somebody who actually knows what they're doing? Fat chance of that happening. Nobody around here ever gives up power. Kirkland's a follower. We need a leader. I'm telling you, man, I got half a mind to make a run to Canada. You know what I'm saying? Oh.
Canada.
Mr. President.
Do you really believe everything you just said?
Mr. President, let me explain.
What's your name?
Seth Wright.
Seth Wright. You're a speechwriter. I saw you coming out of Charlie's office earlier this morning. You were arguing about the president's address.
The AB 33 section.
Housing reform. You really think I should step down?
I do.
You may be right. But for now, I'm all you got. And you have exactly 52 minutes. To write a speech convincing the American people that that's a good thing.
So that kind of sets a precedent for the whole show. And, you know, obviously the speech writer has encountered him, and now he's challenged him. You know, because now he knows he's talking to the president. And, you know, Tom Kirkland steps into the role of president not having a clue, and admittedly so, but he surrounds himself with people, but he embraces the identity and the larger story he stepped into. As we were talking about it, you know, in the first show. But he embraced that with, you know, following his heart and, you know, dealing with people in love. And I mean, it's just an incredible, I enjoyed the show immensely. But it made me, and the reason I chose that clip was because the identity in who we are, you know, I go to it a lot, that song that we heard up in Ohio. You know, I am your beloved. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Helser says, you reminded me of who I've always been. And if I hadn't got anything else out of the masculine journey, it's been God just whispering gently on many different levels, many different ways, reminding me of who I've always been. Because a lie of the enemy is that you're not that guy. You're not powerful. You're not God's chosen. He doesn't love you. You know, all that stuff. And all of a sudden, you find a genre of, and it doesn't have to be the masculine journey. It's whatever makes your heart come alive. You all of a sudden realize, hey, everything I read in Sunday school, everything that I think I knew, all of a sudden has life to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Andy said it well. You know, it speaks to the masculine heart. I never had that. I've had a lot of the generic mm-hmm. stuff, which is not bad stuff. But this just did something different. I mean, I had no idea when I called that number off the website to get me and the guys in the ministry in Asheboro to a local boot camp that my world would be rocked like it's been rocked mm-hmm. the last 4 years or so. Mm. You know, I'm still hanging out with you guys. Still on the fence. You know, but that's the deal, because the reality of it was there was community that was not just talking about a subject. Yeah. You guys were living it. And you've allowed me to live it. you know, and we take all our bumps and our bruises and, you know, we all take shots and nobody's arrived. And yet we get to pour into other people's lives and pour into each other's lives. I mean, dude, you can't make this stuff up. And to watch what happens and you know, watch it around my family and watch how the, you know, it's changed everything. It's changed everything. And it's allowed me to step into roles that I never thought I'd be. You know, mom passing away and having to be a different role and dynamic in our family because dad just kind of fully retired, you know. And so, yeah, got something in my eye, tough guy. To be, you know, to be lead my wife well, but to have her come along beside me rather than leaving her behind as she's felt like so often. And to, you know, engage with my son and my daughter, my granddaughter, in different levels. You know, I mean, it's awesome. And, you know, that's what I think Jesus said when he said, I give you life and life more abundantly. You really begin to live. And it's cool.
You know, you guys have both said the term, you know, nothing's wrong with generic, which is true, but there's no generic people. Right? God made us each unique. Right? And so
Very unique.
Yeah. And he's going to come after us that way. And you know, he's not going to use a generic approach. Right? It's going to be a way that speaks directly to our heart for each one of us, you know, based on our wound set, our warfare, all those kinds of things. It has to be customized as God comes
after
us.
You don't treat your sons as generic.
No. No, well, they're both bigger than me, so I have to treat them a lot nicer.
Or,
you know, these
or
days.
Your daughters. I mean, yeah, they're not. Yeah. You don't pick a gender and say, oh, all girls are like this, all boys are like this, and then you know you have the uniqueness from your gender, but you also have uniqueness just in who you are as a person.
Absolutely,
I mean, fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
Was it something that somebody brought up the other day, but or here or somewhere or something I read? That even identical twins don't have the same fingerprints.
No, I believe that. Yeah,
yeah,
I
mean, it wasn't here. Totally, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, that's how unique God makes us.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you got two people that we can't tell them apart by the eyes. But
yeah, and I mean, you know, just think about the twins that you knew growing up and stuff, how unique their personalities were and stuff. They were similar but different, obviously.
Yeah, I dated a twin once. We won't get into that. That's after hours, I think.
Yeah, that's after show conversations.
Another thing I think, too, just to speak along that, I was sitting here thinking, I've heard it termed that we were, what resonates with guys is you're given the permission to be who you are. Who gives you that permission? Well, God, of course, does. But you're finally enabled to go beyond your pose because God's saying, you know, I accept you. I validate you for who you are. So there, if God does, then why can't I be this way? And that gives us permission to be the man He created us to be.
Absolutely.
Well, it's the clip from The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Yeah.
It's time to step out of the shadows,
yeah,
Junior.
Right. Yeah. Find your authentic swing.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Harold, would you like to share with us some something on the topic here?
Well, I am what I would refer to as a reluctant member of the masculine journey. Obviously, I was born masculine. And I was stumbling around, bumbling and fumbling. And I really did not want to be a part of this. I really didn't know anything about it. And my sweetheart kept after me saying that, you know, I really needed to do it. So reluctantly, I did. And once I dipped my foot into the water and found that it was relatively warm, then I jumped in over my head. One of the things that was intriguing to me and made me want to be a part is you can't be in this and not be real. You know, when you come through the door, you take off that mask that's covering your face and you show your real self. one of the real benefits, I think, is the fact that you realize that while you are somewhat unique, you're not alone.
That's true.
When you have something that you're ashamed of and wish you didn't do, you find out that, hey, there are others that have been in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
The honesty that exists within the group is so refreshing compared to most of what you encounter. Everybody's putting up a pose out there in the world. Inside our group, you might as well forget about the pose.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to get you nowhere because people can see right through it. And we know that. There are so many things that you get exposed to that make you want to be different than you were before. And to me, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of what I've gotten out of it. But I want to leave a little bit of time for some other guys that haven't been involved as long as most of us. I want to leave them the time to...
Well, thank you, Harold. I guess Art's wanting Michael to go, so we'll go with that. Michael, you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah. I went to my first boot camp this last fall. It was all thanks to Harold and Miss Jan, his lovely wife. One thing that's just really brought my attention is just how God places people in your life. You know, you guys have given me role models and just solutions to these problems that I thought, like Harold was saying, I was alone in. But in reality, it's, you know, the path might be different, but the solution really isn't. And it's just having faith in God. It's being thankful instead of blaming or, like you said, just posing your way through life. And it's really just illuminated a better way of encountering everything, you know, any trauma or anything like that, just forgiveness and everything that comes along with it. You know, even when bad things happen, it's not God doing them to you. It's just being thankful for what he's given you.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. What about you, Art? You got something you'd like to add to the show?
Well, I want to say that I'm glad to be back. I've missed. Yeah. I've been out almost 2 months, I guess.
I know, it's been a long time.
Projects and unexpected problems come up, and they've been keeping me away. And this is just a tremendous show tonight, and it really makes me realize how much I've been missing this. So I am glad to be back, and I don't know. I think what came to my mind on this topic is sort of a combination of what everybody else is saying. I think Harold said it best when what I was wanting to say. He kind of said, you're unique but not alone through this program. Mm-hmm. We come to understand that through the books, through the talks. You know, we share our own experiences. We get together, share our own experiences. We share experiences that come from movie actors, from scenes from movies, or words from songs. And we learn that we're all unique, but there are these core truths or universal mm-hmm. truths that we all fit into.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a tremendous help to me to, you know, like Harold said, I'm not alone. Yeah. I'm not alone. So,
well, thank you.
We've truly been asking, where art thou?
Yeah, every week we've been
asking. Sometimes I catch it on YouTube or Facebook. But,
well, we're glad to have you back, Art.
Thank you.
I wanted to share a little bit about the impacts on my family, you know, beyond just me being different. Both of my boys have had the opportunity to come to several boot camps, both actually starting earlier than I thought they were ready, but God knew it was time for them to come. You know, both situations when the boys first came, it ended up that their mom had something going on with the other kids or whatever, and so I needed to take one of them with me. You know, and I kind of was feeling like, oh, it's not the right time, you know, but God always knows best. And it was the perfect time for both boys when they came, and they've both been to several But what's been really cool over the years is, you know, they both were relatively young when they came to their first boot camp, and it's before they ever had their first girlfriend. And I think that was pretty impactful because, you know, the place that we're really not fathered most of the time is in male-female relationships, right? Or we're fathered by broken people or mothered by broken people in them that, you know, have their own agenda and not really fathered by God through them, you know? And for them to have the context of things like, you can't love somebody well enough to fix their brokenness. You know, that's something I tried for many, many years. I thought that if I could love somebody well enough, it could make up for the areas that they're broken in. And we can add to their brokenness very easily, and we can help with that, but God's the only healer in the whole equation, right? God's the only one that can do the healing, right? He's the great physician. We play a role in that, and he will grace us to play roles in that, but we can't do the healing. And to understand what that role is and what it's not is really key, especially when you're in your first relationships. You know, those are hard enough. You know, we like to joke about those things of, oh, well, everybody goes through them. Well, it's also really painful. The first time you've had somebody break your heart hurts, you know, and you may think it doesn't really matter because they're 13, 14, 15, 16, whatever that age is, but it matters to them. I still remember getting my heart broken at that age, you know, and to have a context. And that's really the thing that I'm trying to say is this gives a context to life, to what's been going on warfare-wise, what's been going on, and what relationships should look like. Context is everything, and this journey has helped me with context and has helped my family with context.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah. I mean, when you get your heart broken, it makes you gun shy, you know.
Yeah.
And it could, and get you to pull back and not want to risk loving, and that's not what God's intent is.
No.
Not that you just run back out there. You learn from those things. But, yeah, it's part of the growth, and context makes all the difference. You know, what was going on there, God?
Well, yeah. I'm going to listen to, you know, or they're going to listen to well-meaning friends and family members that aren't God. Mm. Right, and they're giving them advice, or I could give them advice. It's, well, you know, my heart's in the right place to do that, mm-hmm. right? But I don't have the whole story. Mm-mm. I only know what I hear and what I've seen, right? Yeah. God knows the whole story, and so it's going to him and letting him mm-hmm. lead you through it and father you through it, which is key. And having watched my boys both step into that mm-hmm. has been very awesome for me, but also very freeing for me because I don't feel the responsibility of having to try to figure it out, but help direct them back to God.
And it also, I was thinking about, you know, we've talked a little bit about the smaller story and the larger story, and you were talking about context, and those hurts are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will hurt us all the time, most of the time unintentionally.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been things that happen, and, you know, even amongst the team. And, you know, I think about Sam, you and I, first mm-hmm. boot camp, I was part of the team.
Yeah.
And but what the context of it was, you know, was I hurt? Yes, because felt like I got overlooked.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you did.
I did.
to be fair.
But the larger part of yeah. that is that, you know, when you take into analyze the situation, is you would never do that on purpose,
yeah.
because that's the context of it. But the enemy says, yeah, you don't belong here either.
The context yeah. is Sam forgot to bring. Call out Danny for his response, and Danny's yeah. like, "You let me out, man."
Yeah, but in the larger part of the story, you know, I knew by then, you yeah. know, you'd never do that intentionally.
Oh, Sam was heartbroken. It was just one of those things where he just
got. Yeah, I think Sam forgot. Was more hurt than I was.
I believe he was. Yeah, mm-hmm. and, you could see it on his face. And, but it was one of those things. You get up there on stage and you just get rolling and you forget or whatever.
But what that has taught me and has taught is that, you know, when those hurts come, you yeah. look at, okay, who's the person behind this thing?
Yeah.
And do I know him in context?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
you learn to trust that heart.
You trust the heart more so than the action at right. that moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, Lord, that helps a lot.
Yeah, yeah for yeah. sure. You know, talking about the younger guys, too. I mean, how many of us, we used to have the guys from the Boys Academy come, and then we've had some fathers bring their sons and stuff. Your son. And we look at each other, we look at these guys, and we're like, man, if I would have had this
oh, yeah.
at your age,
yeah.
my life would have been totally different. And, you know, I believe God permitted all this stuff for we could, at this age, we can go back and speak into people's lives and say, well, this is how I messed up, but this is what God did. And there's a place for that. But there's also a place for getting at a young age to where maybe you don't fall into the same mistakes. Yeah, we're all broken, and you're probably going to make some mistakes, but to have the context in an early age really should set you up for much more success, I believe.
Well, and I think that was God's original design.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, before the Industrial Revolution and all the stuff we talked about on the show before, you know, that boys were designed to work closely with their fathers.
Right, to learn from them.
And
sit at their feet. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happened for generations, and then it didn't.
Yep.
You know, and that wouldn't have been healthy for everybody, you know, at times. And sometimes that was a good thing that they weren't with their father the whole time. But that was God's original intent, was that those things would get passed down in a healthy way. But, you know, the enemy, everything God intends for good, the enemy has a way of distorting and perverting. And that's what we see happen. And it gets worse every generation. Right. You know, the world's not going to get better anytime soon. You know, and so it's going to keep going in the direction it's going. And not that we don't fight the good fight and we try to correct as much as we can, but it's not going to really change until Jesus comes back.
No, but I tell you what, going to these boot camps, and we've had some freedom, and we are able to dig deeper in the material and then be able to share it and then hear the testimonies of the guys that have been touched, because we sat in that chair and heard the same thing. Mm-hmm. This is an iterative process. We're going through this, and it's touching more and more lives as it's shared, and it's exciting to see, because it does, again, it's Jesus healing hearts, but he likes to bring us in on part of that process.
He does. I have noticed that when Jim's not here, you always have to use big words.
You
had to kind of capitulate like earlier, and there's
There's a vacancy there. Somebody's got to step into that role.
Maybe I just need to buy a dictionary.
That's the answer
is me to get a dictionary. All right. Go to masculinejourney.org if you want to reach out to any of us. It's really simple. Our first name @masculinejourney.org. That's our email. Love somebody well this week and let yourself be loved. We'll talk with you next week.
This is the Truth Network.